Hi, this is A Way to Go, where we talk about death, dying, and the choices we face. My name is Sean O'Connor. Thanks for being here. This podcast has been created by Dignity SA, a non-profit organization with a vision for South Africa, where all of us are supported through life's final journey with compassionate care, dignity, and the freedom to choose our own path. Dignity SA, our lives, our choices. So, welcome to the shorter micro version of the podcast. You can listen to the extended macro version when you join Dignity South Africa for free, which gives you full access to a range of unique digital content and events. So whether you want to sign up as a member or you're looking for more information about palliative care, advanced directives, withholding and withdrawing life-giving support, or our campaign to legalize assisted dying, please visit dignitysouthafrica.org. And membership is free, even though Dignity South Africa relies upon your donations to help support our campaigns to provide the end-of-life options you might want for yourself and your loved ones, which you can read about in our latest newsletter, Dignity Matters. That's also on our website. We're here together now as part of a national and global conversation about assisted dying. And in this episode, we are joined by a remarkable couple, Lynn Grubb and Dieter Haak, who share their experience of Dieter's motor neuron disease and how his condition has inspired their activism for assisted dying to become a reality in South Africa. Dieter was originally involved in a court application for assisted dying some years ago that fell apart and is now involved as a case study in Dignity South Africa's imminent appeal to the North Gauteng High Court in Pretoria to declare the current blanket common law prohibition of assisted dying unconstitutional and invalid, and to instruct Parliament to write, within 24 months, legislation appropriate for South Africa. Our thumbs are duly held. It promises to be a protracted exercise that will benefit from your support and participation. Listening to Dieter, you'll get a sense of the urgency involved. Here's a man whose fitness and mobility and speech and so many other things were suddenly compromised. And that's an understatement. What happened to Dieter could happen to any of us. Indeed, who knows what lurks within? What's remarkable, in my opinion at least, about this episode, which will be unlike any podcast you've ever heard, is the verbatim experience of someone deep inside a life-limiting illness, who speaks with effort, with candor, with humor and compassionate insight. It's not always easy to follow what Dieter is saying, and his voice might come as a surprise to you. My advice is to slow down and listen to someone whose limited energy means that every word he utters is carefully chosen. Underneath his words, you'll hear a man in love with life, who values it immensely. Lynn, his darling partner, is also on hand to add perspective. The macro version on the dignitysouthafrica.org website contains some really touching and extended conversation about what it's like to live with this disease, the challenges of communication with others and in social contexts as well, and what accommodations this extraordinary couple have made. I urge you to sign up as a member of Dignity SA if you haven't already. And while you're doing that, I'm going to introduce Dieter and Lynn. Here they are. Hi, Lynn, and hi, Dieter.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Thank you so much for inviting me into your home and the strong coffee, which I really enjoyed. So we're here to mainly talk about your journey, Dieter, and some of the options you've been considering, I guess. I first heard you speak on Dennis Davis's show on TV, and I think I've seen you at a couple of events. And we're also joined by your partner, Lynn, and thank you both so much for being here. I'm not really sure where to start. Listening to Professor Davis's show again this morning, I was reminded that you received a diagnosis of motor neuron disease in 2013, I think. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so that's a good 12 years ago now. And I think that you're initially given a prognosis of quite a limited lifespan after that. Is that correct?
Correct. My neurologist said 2 to 5 years.
Wow.
Later on, it appeared to me a subcondition of ALS or motor neuron disease, and the abbreviation is PLS.
Okay.
Which means or stands for primary lateral sclerosis, which has a longer life expectancy, anything between 10 and 20 years.
Okay. So I guess most of us aren't walking around cognizant of our mortality. Has that been something that you have been preoccupied with? What's it been like living with that?
I wouldn't say that it is my constant companion in thought. I have accepted my condition. I love life, and I try as best as I can to live life fully.
So what little I've read about MND is that the motor neuron part of your nerve cell fails to send a signal to your muscle to move, and it has affected your speech quite profoundly. What other physical impacts has it had on you?
Lots.
Okay.
Sliding from my legs, moving up to my arms and hands, my face and voice.
Okay.
All affected, becomes worse at times.
Okay.
And less pronounced on other times.
Okay, thank you. And Lynn, as Dieter's partner, Dieter's mobility is impaired. It's obviously impacted your life as well.
Yeah, I think it's definitely affected our life, and it's sort of forced us to go in a completely different path to what we were anticipating doing.
Hmm.
Also, his mobility issues restrict what we could be doing together, you know. I mean, Dieter was a major cyclist and
okay.
a runner. He was okay. really very, very into physical stuff. Dieter was really a fit man. So our whole relationship changed, and the whole way that we lived our life changed, because Dieter was often out running and doing his stuff, to suddenly now being immobilized and sitting around at home. It took quite some adjustment, I must say.
Okay, yeah. And is there pain involved as well? Or is it more a loss of abilities?
Pain only in so far as when I fall.
Okay.
I fall hard and uncontrolled.
Right.
And that can be very chromatic.
Yeah.
In fact, at one stage, I broke my femur.
Wow.
And it affects me still.
Okay. And I mean, that's just physical pain. There's psychic pain and spiritual pain. What has been that like for you to witness then?
It's hard. It's really, really hard. But you know, Dieter's really strong. He's got an amazing attitude, an amazing outlook to this disease, and I admire him profoundly. I mean, he's got the most amazing sense of humor. He picks himself up and he brushes himself off and he stumbles along again with his little walking stick or the walking frame. He's tremendously strong. And I think the way that Dieter handles his disability makes it a lot easier for me because we're able to talk about it. We're able to laugh about it. We're able to not sweep anything under the carpet. It is what it is. And okay. We handle what comes our way, and we've managed pretty well, I think.
Okay. So knowing that your condition would worsen over time, and then after you received that initial diagnosis, which has been proven to be incorrect, of 2 to 5 years, when did you start entertaining the idea of wanting an alternative to prolonged and endless suffering at the end of your life?
The first day.
Right after the diagnosis.
First thing you asked.
Indeed, even because I had a back up and my recovery, having been as fit was not as I expected.
Okay.
And I fell into a depression of note.
Okay.
And that is where I thought it is not worth living.
Okay.
Those are the beginnings of my, call it activism.
Okay.
For the right to make a choice about dying.
Okay. You described your activity as activism. I know that, or I think that, once upon a time, you advocated for the right to a dignified death and made an appeal to the courts. Is that correct?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Lynn, maybe you can come in here. And were you part of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When Dieter was first diagnosed, one of the first questions he asked is, how can I get out of this?
Okay.
Can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
And every doctor we went to many, he asked that, it was the first question, is can you help me when I need to die and to get out of this? Can you do it? And they all said no. And I think that was one of the biggest issues for Dieter, if I may say, I'm not sure, but is the feeling, the fear of being stuck here and deteriorating and not being able to do anything in the end, I think is terrifying for anybody. And then we became part of a motor neuron support group in Johannesburg when we were living there. And they were really a very, very good, well-run support group. And I think the more we were there and the more we saw how this disease goes when you've got ALS and it's quick, it's 5 years and it's done, and you deteriorate really quickly normally, that made it even more frightening, I think, because we witnessed a lot of our friends who had motor neuron disease passing away.
Wow.
And two or three of those were really traumatic for us to see. And I think that that really pushed Dieter into finding a solution to this, not only for himself, but for everybody else who wants it.
Okay.
So not everybody wants to do that, but for the people who do, I think it's necessary that there is the choice to be able to do that.
Okay. So that court application or case, what happened?
Well, the court case, they worked on it for 5 years. They were doing it like pro bono, but in the end it actually didn't work out and we called it a day after 5 years of trying that.
Wow.
And then Willem and Sean said, no, we need to carry on with this.
Okay,
and
so they've run with it.
Willem Landman.
And Sean Davison from Dignity SA. Okay. And when you say they wanted to pick it up and run with it, what do you mean?
They wanted to be involved in the court case as well.
Okay.
And it's actually changed. It's no longer about Dieter, because the last one when we were trying it 5 years ago was about Dieter trying it for himself. But now it's about Dignity trying it for everybody.
Okay.
So it's no longer about Dieter being personally involved in it.
Okay.
He's a case study in it together with a lot of other terminal people who are also wanting this.
How are you feeling about the prospects of this case? Are you feeling optimistic? How are you
feeling? Very optimistic.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we've got a fantastic legal team and I think we've got a chance. I think we've got a very good chance.
Okay. And I mean, the wheels of the law grind very, very slowly.
Sure.
So first the court has to hear the case. Then they have to deliberate. And if there's an unwillingness to consider this matter, which there seems to be if there's already a draft legislation in place, buried for however many years, since Mandela's days, apparently.
Mm.
And there's the potential for delays, for appeals back and forth, etc. It feels like it might take a long time. Obviously, you're hopeful that something can happen in your own life.
Yeah. Quite correct, but however long it takes, it will happen eventually. And I have made provision for myself.
Oh, wow.
I'm relaxed about having an answer to my question.
Okay, that's incredibly profound. I can actually see how your face is lit up just knowing that you can exercise your right to have the kind of death you want on your own terms.
The only problem with that, though, Sean, is that Dieter has got a solution to take himself out of this.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to do that sooner rather than later.
Why?
Which is a problem, because he needs to do that himself and he needs to be physically able to move.
Okay.
To swallow what he needs to swallow by himself, because I'm not allowed or cannot be seen to help him in any way.
Right.
So it means that Dieter, if he chooses, he needs to choose when he's able to do it.
Okay.
Because of his condition, he's going to get less and less mobile and eventually his swallowing is going to go and then he won't be able to do it. So that's a bit of an unfortunate thing, is that he may need to take himself out sooner than necessary.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's about a judgment call then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is quite scary because he could wake up tomorrow and he can't use his arms.
Because you obviously have good days and bad days. But I guess you're consoled by knowing that it's your choice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want to be the person that chooses. I don't want any third party to make the choice for me or assume the position of making that choice.
Okay.
I believe the person who is affected has the right to choose, not an outsider, even if it's doctor of medicine.
Right. We're joined here by a rescue dog called Phoebe, who's nodding along sagely the whole time. So that seems to be quite a grey area around agency, and I think in some jurisdictions there's this idea of, oh, you are eligible for medically assisted dying or assisted dying if you've got 6 months left to live.
Yeah. I mean, how crazy is that?
Which is quite
tricky. Who the hell knows?
It's a guesstimate. Yeah. And how then again do you determine when your faculties will still permit you to administer what you need to do yourself? Mm. So there are a lot of grey areas around agency and what is permissible and what's not. And it feels to me like opponents of assisted dying use that to say, oh, we can't do this. We can't enable this kind of practice because it can be abused. Someone else could influence you. You could be coerced. So it feels like this question of agency is imperative at the end of life when you want to make a choice. Would you prefer that someone could help you in that moment, Dieter?
Yeah, absolutely, because I don't know when I can't do it myself, but I know when I start fearing to be alive.
Ah.
I think it's at that point where the decision is made. We all fear death, but when we start fearing to be alive, then I think a point is reached where helping someone to die is appropriate.
Yeah.
I'm with Dieter, regardless of whatever choice and decision he makes. It's entirely his decision when and if he wants to do this. He might not. I'm certainly not looking forward to it. I think it's going to be one hell of a choice to make. And I think it's very easy for us to sit here in this couch with the dog on our lap to say, oh, yeah, that's fine. When it gets tough, he's going to take himself out. But I'm very relieved that he has got the solution because it's really, I'm very fearful as well to watch him trapped. I think it's as bad for the caregiver as it is for the person who's actually suffering with it, because you're useless. You can't help somebody who's trapped. And motor neuron is a real cruel disease. It's really, really bad at the end. People can't even swallow their saliva. They drown on their saliva in their mouths. And you can't wipe your face. You can't scratch an itch. You can't roll over in bed. You can't lift a glass to your lips. You can't wipe yourself in the bathroom. I mean, it's really, really, really an undignified death.
Okay.
And I don't want Dieter to have to go through that. I don't think he deserves it, or anybody.
Okay.
Yeah, dignity is a word of note, because every person has the right to dignity.
And we're going to leave it there. Remember to visit dignitysouthafrica.org, where you can register as a member for free to access the extended version to learn more about living with MND. Please also contact us via the website if you're thinking about sharing your story about end-of-life choices or their lack. We'd love to be in touch with you. Maybe we can feature your experience right here in the show as a homage, as part of a eulogy, or to add to the many voices calling for change in our legislation. Until next time, if there is one, please spread the word that talking about death is good for life. Adios.